Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we just thank you for each person that is here. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to come here to worship you, to praise you. Lord, I ask that you just watch over each one of us, that you open our hearts and minds, and Father, that we may just put the distractions of life behind us, and that we may just worship you this morning, just in awe of your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you also for the offering and the way that you provide for the church. Father, may it be used for your blessing. May it be used to expand your kingdom and to bring you glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'll praise with
Amen. That's how we kick it off. You know, this is that time where where we set aside time to pray for those who don't know Jesus inside of our community. And it's as a reminder that prayer works, that God answers prayers, that he hears prayers. So this morning, instead of just praying for my three, I'm going to switch it up just a little bit because I think there's something inside of our community that we need to be praying for. I don't know how many of you guys are aware or not, but Lanark Fire Department responded to a fire yesterday. And in the line of duty, two of them are now in the hospital. They were injured severely. So with that being said, I think it's important that we as a church take time to pray for those in our community, not just those who don't know Jesus, but that we lift up these two men and their families and the struggles that they're facing. So at this time, I want us to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we know that you are a God who loves us, who cherishes us. We know that you hear our prayers. And Lord, this morning we want to lift up those who don't know you. But Lord, we also want to lift up those two men who were injured yesterday trying to help their community. Father, we pray that you're with their families in this time, that you bring comfort and peace to all those around them. Father, be with the fire department itself. Those that have worked alongside these men and who had to witness and help. Lord, may your spirit just be poured out. May they know who you are and the goodness of who you are. Be with the doctors and nurses as they treat these men. Father, that their lives may be restored once again. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name.
amen to that.
Thank you.
There's been times when I've had a hard, hard time, and He's my rock. He's my firm foundation. And if you don't know Jesus, I beg you to claim Him as your Lord and Savior, because He's my rock and He can be your rock. He's my firm foundation and He can be your firm foundation. He is so good. He is my joy. He gives me strength. There may be times when I feel like I'm on sand and the waters beneath me are not stable, but He's got me and He's holding me up. And He is there for you, and He's a gentleman, and He will not force you to come to Him. He's there with open arms. We're going to go back and sing that rain came and that wind blew. Because He's our foundation.
I'm safe with you. I'm gonna. say thank you that we can apply your blood to our lives and that we are made clean. Father, we just say thank you for what you've done on that cross that we get to celebrate. Lord, we just say thank you for your love, for your goodness in our life. Lord, that we can just lay everything at your feet. Lord, we say thank you. Thank you for the blood of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You guys may be seated. Well, good morning, church. It's good to be here this morning. And I want to thank you all for your prayers this last week, for Melissa and I and the boys, and just all the support and everything we received with her dad being moved to Mayo Clinic and so forth. So we just wanted to say thank you for all of it. It's very appreciated, and we felt very loved in the process. I want to welcome everybody here this morning as well. I want to welcome our guests that are joining us this morning, and even those of you joining us online in the radio, we are thankful for each and every one of you. But before we go and dive into the message, as you guys are who are here regularly know, I'm big on prayer. So we're going to dive back into the word of prayer before we get going. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you, to praise you. And Lord, we ask that this morning it is your words that are spoken and not my own. Father, I pray that if I say anything that is not of you, that it may fall on deaf ears. Father, I pray if it's your words that you penetrate even the hardest of hearts. Father, that we may grow in knowledge and wisdom of you, and that we may rejoice in who you are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, we are going back to our Life of Christ series after we paused it last week for John 3:16 Sunday. And how much fun was that? You know, with the baptism and everything else, it was a great day. But as we dive back into our Life of Christ series this morning, we're going to be picking up where we left off last time. So for those of you who want to follow along, we're going to be over in Luke chapter 10, verses 17 to 24. And what we see happening here is the 72 that Jesus had sent out coming back this morning. And if you recall, the last time that we were in the Life of Christ series, we saw Jesus sending them out, and now they're coming back. What was interesting, though, is as Jesus sent them out, these 72 people were not part of Jesus' 12. Instead, the 72 were others that had been following Jesus, and they were sent out to do the work in the communities around them. You know, and I thought this is such a great reminder on how God calls the church as a whole to go out and be his hands and feet. You know, often we think of pastors, missionaries, evangelists. We think of those realms as the ones who are sent out to do the work. But here we see the others being sent out to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Because we're all called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And he reminded them that the workers are few, but the harvest is abundant. And he never promised the 72 when he sent them out that their work was going to be easy. In fact, he told them in the passage that he's going to send them out like lambs among the wolves, that they should be ready to face hard times and difficulties along their travels, that they should be prepared to be attacked by the world for the message of hope that they're out to give. Yet even with all of that, he told them not to carry money bags, travel bags, or even extra sandals along their trip. Instead, he encouraged them to trust in him to provide along the way. In our world, that can be a really difficult thing to do, can't it? To just trust that God is going to be providing along the way. To provide everything. Especially when the difficulties start coming. But we know what we're called to do. Because God can provide better than anything that we can ever plan for. And he's the one who fights our battles. And we don't need to. He reminded the 72 before he sent them out that their job is to share the good news of Jesus, to heal the sick and to cast out demons. And if people rejected the hope of Jesus that they were offering, they can simply dust off their feet and move on. remembering they're not rejecting the messenger, they're rejecting the message. They were rejecting Jesus in that moment. That is, in that for us to remember as well, not everyone is going to accept that message of hope, that message of Jesus when we go out and we share. Not everyone is going to. But there are those that will accept that message, and we get to celebrate every time someone comes to know Jesus. Every time a person says yes to Christ, we have to remember that even the angels in heaven celebrate that moment. And inside of our text this morning, we see the 72 celebrating what God did when they went out. It actually tells us in verse 17, it starts us off with, it says, the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons submitted to us in your name. Here they were celebrating everything they had witnessed God do whilst they were out on mission for Jesus. I mean, they would have seen people healed. They saw demons submit to the name of Jesus. They would have witnessed things they had never witnessed before. And they were excited and they were overjoyed and they were riding this high of emotions. You know, that high that they were riding is that same type of high that we can find at times when we're on a mission trip. How many of you guys have ever been on a mission trip? And the joy that you feel when you come back, that high when you lead somebody to Christ for the first time. It's the same type of high we can get from an event like yesterday. Yesterday, a bunch of us men went to an Iron Sharpens Iron event, and you can come back and you feel rejuvenated and excited about Jesus and everything that's going on. In the Christian world, we often call those mountaintop moments. It's in those moments that life's distractions are removed from us. And we have this singular focus on what God is doing in that moment. It's in those moments that all of life's distractions are removed. It's in those mountaintop moments that we can find ourselves in absolute awe of God's goodness and mercies, where we feel the absolute closeness to God, where we feel like we can take on the world. For example, the 72 inside of this moment were in absolute awe of the fact that even the demons submitted to the name of Jesus. They were being able to do things they had never imagined, and yet here they were. And they were discovering there's power and might in the name of Jesus. What an awesome experience that had to be for them inside of that moment. And those mountaintop moments are amazing. They're wonderful. You know, often, even when someone first gets back from a mission trip, and if you ask them, are you ready to go back out to another one, they would probably leave the next day given the opportunity. If they could do it, they would be there. But eventually, we have to go back to the rest of the world. We have to go back to our jobs. We have to go back to our families. We have to come off of that mountain and into the valley of the day-to-day life with the distractions of life there. And when we find ourselves back in the valley, we can find ourselves yearning for that mountaintop moment once again. You know, I believe that God gives us those mountaintop moments to remind us, not just that he's there, but to help us remove distractions from our lives and see what's really important, to revive us from the inside out. He gives us those moments to help us grow and connect in a deeper level with him than we may have ever been before. It's often in those mountaintops moments that we can feel our faith is stretched and we grow. But we also have to be careful with those mountaintop moments. We have to make sure that we don't worship the moment and the experience and miss God entirely. Remembering that he's the one who gives us everything good in our lives, that he's the one who sustains us even when we're not at that mountaintop moment. We may experience it at those moments, but I'm telling you, Jesus is with us even in the valley. He is walking right alongside us the same way that he was there. No matter how deep the valley, he's still there. So when the 72 came back celebrating everything they had seen, when they were celebrating the fact that even the demons responded to the name of Jesus, Jesus kind of surprised them with his answer. He actually says in verse 18, he said, I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. You see, they were surprised that the demons had submitted to the name of Jesus. But Jesus reminded him that he saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. That whilst they were out on mission and they were doing the work that God had called them to do, he witnessed Satan suffer a notable defeat. that while they were out preaching the good news, whilst they were out sharing the gospel with the world around them, they were destroying Satan's strongholds inside of those communities. And I want you to know something. That's not something that just happened for them. That happens for us today as well. When we're bold for the sake of the gospel, when we stand up for Jesus and we share the good news of Jesus to the world around us, when we enter into a community and boldly proclaim the name of Jesus to the people around them, and we start seeing lives transformed because of what God is doing in the midst of it all, and we see people come into a relationship with Jesus, Satan's stronghold starts to be destroyed. You want to see families restored? You want to see those that are addicted to drugs and alcohol set free? You want to see entire communities come back to life? Go and proclaim the name of Jesus. Go and proclaim it, because there's power in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to warn you, though, when you start destroying Satan's strongholds, when we start working against what he's trying to do, and I want to remind you something. There's studies have done that 40% of Carroll County does not believe in any God. Satan has a stronghold right here, whether you realize it or not. But when we go out and we start boldly proclaiming it and we start seeing that happen, there is going to be attacks. There will be hard times. There's a reason it's called a battle that we're in. There's a reason that we're called to put on the full armor of God, because Satan is battling for every last soul that he can get his hands on. But we have to remember that God is on our side, that he's the one who will do the fighting for us, but we have to be willing to go out and present Jesus. We have to be willing to go out and present the name of Jesus, remembering there is no power greater than that, than him. Remember that we have a sword, which is his word, which is truth. And what do we know? The truth will set us free. So when the demons respond the way that they did, it did not surprise Jesus by any means, because he knows who's going to win at the end. And when we're in Christ, when we're in relationship with him, we're given authority over the evil of this world. Jesus says in verse 19, he said, "Look, I've given you the authority to trample on snakes, scorpions, and all over the powers of the enemy, and nothing will harm you." He's referencing Old Testament passages. But you know, while the 72 were on mission, Satan would have tried to discourage them. He would have tried to put obstacles in their way, because he knows what they're going to do. He knows he's fighting a losing battle, but he's not going to go down easily. And here Jesus was reminding them that they were on mission and nothing could harm them. That while they were doing the work that God had called them to do, nothing in this world could overpower them. Don't get me wrong, it didn't mean that they wouldn't still face struggles. They wouldn't still face rejection. He's not saying that it's going to be easy. What he's saying here is that he's going to win in the end. Remember, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is not against things of this world. Instead, our battle is against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The devil cannot take our salvation. He cannot take the goodness of God away from any of us. He may have some power that he let loose here on earth, but he doesn't have that kind of power. And Jesus is saying through him, we have more power than the devil. Not on our own, but through him. And we can rejoice in God's protection that he's given us through his son, Jesus. You see, the 72 were protected by God whilst they were on mission. That's why when they came back, they were able to celebrate everything that they had witnessed. When we walk in God's goodness and in his protection, we have nothing to worry about. When our identity is in Christ, we know that he goes before us and we have his power and might within us. We need not worry about things of this world. We don't need to worry about what this world can do to us. You see, it doesn't matter what the devil throws our way, because God's already made a way, because he's already won. And we can rejoice in that moment. We can rejoice that he's already won. But I think it's also important for us to remember to not just celebrate what God does through us. In fact, Jesus says in verse 20 something interesting. He says, "However, don't rejoice that the Spirit submitted to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." You know, it can become very easy to get caught up in the flashy things of faith. can it? It can become extremely easy to get caught up in the signs and wonders that God can perform, the miracles that we've seen him do. It can become easy that we forget what's truly important in life. And that is that our identity is found in Christ and Christ alone, not in things of this world. We can forget that it's more important that our names are written in heaven than the amount of money that we have sitting in the bank account. Yet somewhere along the way, many Christians have forgotten this. And they've started worshiping things they believe they can get from God instead of God himself. I want to give you guys an example of something I read many years ago, and it still bothers me to this very day. You see, it was one of those prosperity teachers, you know, the types that you see on TV. And now, don't get me wrong, not all TV preachers are bad. There are some wonderful teachers out there that can give us hope and can help guide us in those moments. But what we're talking about is one of those that says that if you send him 1,000, God will send you 10,000. We're talking about one of those guys, okay? Well, this teacher was doing an interview, and inside of this interview, he was asked a very simple question. Why doesn't he just preach a straightforward gospel message? You know, why doesn't he just preach Jesus and the love that he has for him, for them? Why doesn't he preach about lives transformed by the blood of the Lamb? And his response was something I didn't expect, and it still bothers me to this very day. He responded something along this line. He told the interviewer that he had preached many of those straightforward gospel messages before. He had preached the hope of the gospel that is found in Jesus alone. The problem that he ran into is that the offerings and the responses were minimal when he did that. But you see, when he preached the prosperity gospel, which is no gospel at all, and he tells people that if they give him money, God will bless them tremendously, he could have up to 10 times the response, 10 times the financial gain. And you know, we can get really upset at him inside of that moment for selling out and being a charlatan, because that's what he is. You know, the Bible says that if anyone comes preaching any other gospel, they will be cursed. But I think we also need to pause and look inside of our own hearts and minds in this moment. Why is it that it's so attractive to the point that people are willing to give thousands of dollars in that moment when they think they're getting something back from Jesus instead of celebrating what God's already done for them? Why is the response so much greater when we think we earn something extra? Instead of just celebrating that Jesus has already paid on the cross for us. To listen to any other gospel is no gospel at all. I believe it's because we are still no different than Adam and Eve. That's why we run into this. We always have desire for more. Adam and Eve had everything they needed inside of the garden of Eden. Sorry. They had everything they needed. And yet it still wasn't enough for them, was it? They needed more. So many people seek God not for the joy, peace, and love that comes through him, but they seek him because what they believe they may receive in the physical sense from God, that they may suddenly get wealthy here on earth, that they may suddenly get healed here on earth, that they may get caught up in the signs and wonders of what God can do instead of rejoicing in the fact that they are secure in their identity in Christ because of what Jesus did on the cross for you and I. You know, the finished work of the cross that Jesus did should be more than enough for each and every one of us. Getting to spend eternity with our Heavenly Father should be more than enough reason to celebrate Christ. And that we should be excited about everything else is only icing on the cake. Don't get me wrong, God watches out for us. He protects us. He heals the sick. He takes care of the little things and the big things. He watches out for the widows and the orphans. And we can rejoice in the fact that he's made a way where there's no other way, and we can have that security in Christ. We should be celebrating, though, that our names are written in heaven, no matter how many times we may succeed or fail by worldly standards. Our identity in Christ surpasses anything this world has to offer. In the physical sense. and we can rejoice in that. And we rejoice that God has revealed himself to us. Jesus actually says in verse 21, he says, at that time, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure. Now, I am going to say this to start off with. This is one of those verses that oftentimes gets used out of context. Okay, there are some people who actually think that this verse says that we shouldn't have any more education. Not many anymore, but there are some, and I happen to be related to a few of them that use this verse in that way. But let me be clear, Jesus is not saying that we shouldn't gain wisdom and intelligence. He's not saying that we shouldn't have education. There's nothing wrong with an education. But what Jesus is saying inside of this moment is that if we rely on our own understandings and not God, we're going to miss God completely. He's saying that we need to approach God like children, being willing to admit that we don't know everything. And that's what God reveals himself to us. In our weakness, we are made stronger. And so often, we try to elevate ourselves that we completely miss what God is doing. He continues in verse 22, and he says, all things have been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son desires to reveal him. Jesus continued to identify his special and unique relationship with our Heavenly Father. Such a close relationship that often us as humans cannot fathom or fully understand it. One of the ways in which we try to understand it is through the Trinity. But even at times that can be difficult for us to grasp. But it's in those moments that Jesus reminds them of his mission to reveal the Father to the world. That Jesus has brought salvation down to earth to make a way where there's no other way. He taught this through parables, through his interactions with others, and most of all, he taught this through his life, giving us an example of how we're called to live. And we can rejoice in that this morning. We get to rejoice that he's given us that spiritual insight. He tells the disciples in closing on verse 23 and 24, he says, then turning to his disciples, he said privately, blessed are the eyes that see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see the things you see, but didn't see them, to hear the things you hear, but didn't hear them. He's letting the disciples know how blessed they are that they get to see the things that they have seen. That there were many prophets and kings. There were many that had prophesied about the things that would happen, and they never got to see them. Yet here they had Jesus the Messiah standing in front of them. And they could celebrate that promise was kept from all those years ago. You know, that exact same blessing is still for us today. How blessed are we that we get to have spiritual insight to know who Jesus is. That we live in a time where God has already made a way where there was no way. How blessed are we that Jesus came and took care of it for us. And I want to encourage you this week to just rejoice in that. That we get to have that experience, that we get to have that relationship with him. And that God has already given us everything we needed. I don't want to encourage you to rejoice in there. But as the team comes forward for closing song, my question of this week is, what are you rejoicing in? Are you rejoicing in the fact that God has made a way? Or are you looking at what you can gain from God? Because Jesus has already paid the ultimate sacrifice. That's what we're getting ready to celebrate this Easter. That's what we're kicking off tonight. It's just remembering that God has already made a way through his son Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. Father, I thank you for the way that you provide, even in spite of me and others. Father, I ask that we may just rejoice in your goodness this week. That we may remember we have all that we need in you. There's nothing else on this earth that we need. Lord, I thank you for all of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Never fail.
Just trust in the Savior.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.